I like what I, you may be seated tonight or this afternoon. I'm getting my days and nights mixed up. We just come through 2 weeks in a row at camp, and I'll be honest with you, I am very sleep deprived. So I'm getting my days and my nights mixed up, but it is a joy to be here with you in Winnemac, and to see, I'm amazed when I walked in the building today. When we drove up, I saw the beautiful block on the front of the building that you guys have just recently done, and I walk into the building to see all the changes that have been made, and I am just amazed at what God is doing in Winnemac, and amazed at what God is doing through your church and through your pastor, and I give you honor today for that. Why don't you just give yourselves a hand? You're doing a great work for the Lord here in this city, and I appreciate everything that you all are doing. I thank Cameron for those kind words. We love Cam in Frankfurt, and he seems like he hangs around with my nephew, so I think he's one of my, I treat him like he's one of my nephews, and love and respect him and what God is doing in his life and through his ministry. My wife and I are so honored to be at New Beginnings Family Fellowship today. And when Pastor Smith called me, told me he's going to be out of town, and asked if I could come, there was no hesitation in me at all. I said I would be completely honored. And so I am honored to have this opportunity to preach to you today. And it's amazing, again, to see where God has brought you from that storefront downtown to this beautiful building that God so unbelievably provided to you. That lets you know, I told somebody before service, when all these things are happening, all these things begin to line up, it lets you know that you're in the will of God. And I believe without a doubt that you are in the will of God with this church and in this city. The Bible says it like this. It said, when I was thinking about that storefront, the Bible says, despise not the days of small things. So, despise not the days of small things. And I remember that building that you used to be in, and how you were cramped in that building, and it wasn't the most comfortable thing. And but you have to start at small places. And your pastor felt a burden and a call to come to this city. He comes with his family, and he starts with just a handful of you. And now look at where you're at and what God's doing. God's brought you a mighty long way. And now, because of your dedication and the dedication of your pastor and his family, New Beginnings is now a beacon of light and a beacon of hope and a beacon of apostolic truth in the city of Winnemac. And God is doing great things. I give honor to your pastor, Pastor Smith. I know that he's not able to be with us today because he's traveling, but I do want to say I do appreciate him. I appreciate his friendship. He is a friend. He's a true friend, a real friend, and I appreciate his friendship and his leadership now in our section as our North American Missions Director. I thought how appropriate that we voted him in as a home missions director in our section, and I give him honor, and I appreciate the fact that he answered the call of God, and he followed the plan and the will of God. And I'm thankful for men and women, and I did say women because his wife, you got a package deal with your pastor and his wife and family. But I'm thankful for men and women of God who will say, God, whatever you want me to do and wherever you want me go, God, I will go. I'll step out. I'll take my family, and I will sow seed. And I'll do what you want me to do. So I give honor to your pastor. Do you love your pastor today? Won't you give him a hand? I know he's not here, but I love and appreciate him. I'm going to get right into the word of the Lord. Is it okay if I preach like I'm at home? Is that okay? If I just make myself, I don't know any other way to do it. I'm going to make myself at home and preach like I'm at home. And I believe that God's going to do something great today. If you believe it, shout amen. Luke chapter 3, if you would turn in your Bibles, or I'm sure it'll be on the screen behind me. I want to share with you what I believe God laid on my heart for today, for this hour. I'm gonna skip around a little bit. Luke chapter 3, we find that John the Baptist is on the scene, and he is preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is a forerunner of the gospel. He's a forerunner of Christ. And so in verse number, or in chapter 3 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he came," meaning John the Baptist, "into all the country about Jordan, preaching and the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin." Let's get down to verse number 6. And the Bible says that as he was preaching and as he was ministering, that all flesh, he preached a message that all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then we skip down to verse number 8, and he is declaring that the gospel would bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within themselves, "We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." So he is proclaiming that God is able to raise up, that God, the one that would come after him, is able to do, we say it all the time, he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Let's skip down to verse number 10. He begins, and still preaching, he said, and the Bible says, "And all the people asked him, saying, What shall we do?" They were saying, what are we to do with what we're hearing? And then I want to wrap up in verse number 15, and this will springboard us into what I believe that God has laid on my heart. Verse 15 said, "And as the people were in expectation," everybody say expectation. "And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." I want to preach to you for the next few moments on this subject. It's time to expect it. Everybody say, it's time to expect it. I believe that it's time that the apostolic church in general become expectant in our beliefs and what we know that God is able to do. I don't think it's enough for us to come into the house of God service after service just hoping that God would heal, not just hoping that God would fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, but we ought to come into his house day in and day out, expecting God to do it, expecting God to heal my body when I'm sick, and expecting God to make a way where there is no way, and expecting God to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. How many expect God to do it today? Come on, how many expect God to do it today? Amen. Amen. This text, this verse of Scripture, verse number 15, is a powerful verse in the sense that it is not so much its wording, but rather it is its location in Scripture that makes it so powerful. For what we must understand and realize is that mankind had just come through 400 years of spiritual silence. Understand with me, from the last writing of the Old Testament prophet Malachi to the opening of the New Testament in Matthew's gospel, there were 400 years of complete silence. 400 years where there was no word from God. 400 years where no one saw miraculous manifestation. 400 years of no supernatural demonstration. 400 years of no burning bush experiences. 400 years of no parting the waters of the Red Sea. 400 years where there were no crumbling of the walls of Jericho. For 400 years, no giants fell. For 400 years, no promises or prophecies were given. And for 400 years, no prayers had been answered. Which brings us to our text in verse number 15 when it said, "And the people were in expectation." After 400 years of absolutely nothing, the people were anticipating and expecting something from God. They were expecting God to once and for all break the silence that they had been in. I've come to preach to somebody this afternoon in Winnemac who you have not heard anything from God and you've not felt anything from God in quite a long time. You feel, as the scripture says, that the heavens are brass. You feel like your prayers go up and they bounce off the ceiling to come right back in your face. You are longing for just one word from God. You long for God just to touch you one more time. And I have come to tell you that if you could just somehow raise your level of expectation, God is about to break the silence in your life. God is about to move on you like He hasn't moved on you in a long time. And God is about to speak some things into existence in your life. If you believe it, clap your hands. You see, if they had had great expectation after 400 years of silence, how much more should we, the church of the living God, how much more should we who are rich in the blessings of God, who have had prayers answered time and time again, those of us who have experienced miraculous healing, those of us, and I have seen it, who have seen the dead come back to life, how much more should we be in expectation today? How much more should we expect miracles, signs, and wonders in this place this afternoon? How much more should we be expecting the outpouring of the Holy Ghost? And how much more should we expect to be delivered? And you may say, well, preacher, that's fine and good. I'm not really bound. I'm not in the drug thing. I don't touch alcohol. But we all face bondage at some point in our life. We all have hang-ups. We all have things that have crept into our lives and have us in a bondage type of mentality. But I'm come to preach somebody out of that today and say, tell you that God is in this house this morning, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, anything can happen. If you need to be healed, God can heal you today. If you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, God can fill you today. I want to tell this church that you need to pray. You need to pray. When you pray, you need to pray with expectation. When you kneel down and you say, God, I need you to make a way. And we don't need to pray, hear me today. We don't need to pray and just say, God, I hope that you'll do it. I hope, God, would you please, God, would you do it? But we need to hit our knees and we need to speak things into existence. We need to call those things that are not as though they were and start praying prayers like, God, thank you for healing me. God, heal my body right now by the authority of the Word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus. You can heal me today. We need to pray. We need to praise in expectation. We need to sow in expectation. Because I believe that this is the greatest day of opportunity and potential that the church has ever known. Listen to me. What God has done thus far in the town of Winnemac, where God has brought you to this beautiful building, this everything that is in this building, the nice paint on the wall, the decoration, to see where God has brought you from. This is not what God has intended for Winnemac. How many believe that? God has not brought you to this place and say, well, here you are. I've moved you into this building. I've done all these great things. You baptized a multitude of people in the river just a few weeks ago. God's not saying, that is all that I have for you. Because God wants to take you to a new level. This is just a stepping stone that God has brought you to. But whenever there's a stepping stone, there is a higher calling. There is a higher place to go. And I believe right now, I expect that God is going to bring a mighty revival to the town of Winnemac. That many souls are going to be won. That this building will not be able to house. This building will not be able to contain what God wants to do in this city and in this church. And if you believe that, shout amen. This is the reason This is the reason that we should be in a state of expectation and in a state of anticipation. Because when Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice, He became the propitiation for our sins. Colossians 2:14 said that He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. What the Word of God is saying in the book of Colossians, what God is saying to us through that scripture, and He is saying that all those things that you have dealt with, all those things that have had you bound, all those nights that you've questioned in your mind, is there even a God, or does God even care about my situation? Does God even care that I'm sick? Does God even care that I struggle? What this scripture is saying, that He took all those things that have been attacking you, all those things that the enemy has thrown up in your mind and said that you'll never amount to anything. His scripture said that He took those ordinances, all that stuff that was against you, and He removed it from you, and He nailed it to the cross when He died and He shed His blood. He nailed those to the cross. And I want to tell somebody here today that it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what you have struggled with. But God sent me here today to tell you that today is a day of change. That no longer will you struggle with that. No longer do you have to be sick. No longer do you have to be bound. But God wants to deliver you and heal you in this place today. The reason that you should be expecting something today. Hear me. We've had people in Frankfurt, and my wife and Brother Cameron will probably laugh about this, but we've had people in Frankfurt that have been praying for the same needs for years and years and years. And I don't want to say that they don't have faith, but for some reason they've prayed for years and years and years. And they've come in and they sat through services, and God was moving and the Holy Ghost was there. The power of God was there. But there was something about it that they would come and they lift their hands and they would just beg God. God, would you please do it today? God, would you please heal me? God, would you please save my family? God, would you please make a way? God, would you please give me some kind of miraculous financial provision? And it's day in and day out, just hoping, just praying, just trying to hold on to something. But what God wants us to do in this place today, He wants us to quit praying those kind of prayers, and He just wants us to start speaking things into existence. He wants us to take the authority that God has placed in our life through the power of His name and start calling things as though they are. Because there is absolutely nothing that can stop you from getting healed today. There is absolutely nothing that can stop someone from being delivered in this place today. There, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, there is nothing that can stop you from being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's nothing that can stop you from having your life changed forever. Everything that was against you, everything that has fought you, everything that has tried to bind you, God took it out of the way, and now we can come boldly to His throne. He took it out of the way, and He nailed it to the cross. We are living in an hour and in a day when multitudes, my grandfather used to preach about the mighty end time revival. He used to say that there's coming a day when we're about to see things that we have never seen before, things that would never be possible, things that would never happen are going to happen. And we are living now, in my time, we are living in a day and an hour where multitudes are receiving the Holy Ghost in the United Nations. Leaders, world leaders from all over the globe are gathering, and they are being taught Bible studies by Oneness Apostolic Preachers, UPC preachers, and many multitudes are being filled with the Holy Ghost. I heard a story here just a few weeks ago that President Trump was in, and Vice President Pence were in a Bible study, and in that Bible study, our Vice President of the United States was praying and speaking in tongues, and he was not afraid to proclaim, "We are living in a day and an hour that we thought would never be possible." And while churches all across the country and all across the world are closing their doors because their parking lots and their pews are empty, I want to say that the apostolic church, the church of the living God, is growing at a staggering rate. New buildings are being constructed in order to house the harvest God is sending. The favor of God is on the apostolic church. The Bible says it like this: "In the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." But God is saying, and he's wanting us to understand here today, that we are living in a day and time that he is pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. We are living in a book of Acts day where people are still being healed, where God is adding to the church, where the dead is still being raised, and people are still being full of the Holy Ghost. So I say today that we need to be in expectation, because God is about to unlock some things in the spirit that we have never seen before. And in just a few moments, we are going to have an opportunity to pray. And when we do, I want you to understand me. I'm not really going to invite you to pray. I'm not really going to invite you to praise. And I'm not going to invite you to have faith. But rather, in a moment, I'm going to invite you to step out from where you are and expect that when you do, and expect that when you do, that when you take that step of faith and when you step out of that pew that you're in and you come to this altar, I want you to expect something to take place. I want you to, if you are sick, when you step out of that seat, I want you to expect that God is going to heal you and that you're not going to leave this place with that same sickness that you have. We're going to test our faith today. I'm going to have you step from where you are. And when you do, I want you to expect that pain to leave your body. I want you to expect to be set free. And if you are lost and don't have the Holy Ghost, I want you to expect to be full, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because God will only do what we expect Him to do. God, listen to me. God is never going to heal us if we don't expect Him to. We can come and we can pray all day long, but if we don't expect to receive an answer, guess what? We're not going to receive it. You can pray for the Holy Ghost all day long, but if you don't believe that God can fill you with the Holy Ghost, He's not going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Because God will only do what we expect Him to do. But I'm glad to tell you today that if we expect it, it will happen. I've seen too much in my lifetime. I've seen too many people healed. I've seen too many people delivered. And I have come to this place today with expectation, knowing that if God said that He could do it, that He will do it. Believe it today. I believe it with all of my heart. The Bible says, and I'm quickly drawn to a close. The Bible says in Psalms 119 and 126, it says, the psalmist wrote, "It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law." If ever, there was a verse in the Bible that described modern day America, this is the verse. For they have made void thy law. Allow me to preach to the church for just a moment and say that we must realize that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Let me tell the church today that we don't act like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't think like the world, because God has called us out to live a separated life. This has to be a time of great motivation and focus for the church of the living God. The writer said, Lord, you have to work now, for they have made void your law. It's time for God to do something in our world, and He's going to do stuff. I say in the Spirit and in the Holy Ghost today that He's going to do stuff that we have never seen before. He's going to do stuff that is greater than anything that we could have ever imagined. And I believe in these last days that we are going to see things that are greater than anything that we've ever read about in the book of Acts. But God's going to do amazing and marvelous things in our world in this day. Would you clap your hands right now and give God praise?
Without a doubt, we face giants in our lives. Our battles now seem to be bigger than they've ever been. Our struggles seem to be harder than they've ever been. Our valleys seem to be deeper than they've ever been. Our problems seem to be greater than they have ever been. But we must understand that before God brought David to his giant, before David ever faced Goliath in the Valley of Elah, God gave David a bear. And God gave David a lion. And he did that because he wanted David to know that I'm getting ready. I'm getting you ready for your giant. I'm getting you ready for what you are going to face. I am preparing you for the battle of your life. I am preparing you to fight a giant in a valley someday. I've come to tell somebody today that you don't need to be fearful or afraid. You don't need to be intimidated by the enemy, because if you have a bear skin and you have a lion hide, you need to know that God did that so that you could rest assured that He is going to deliver that giant into your hand. God is going to give you the greatest victory that you could have ever imagined. God's going to do a work that is going to work the biggest miracle that you could have ever imagined in your life. And God is going to intervene in a way that is greater than you ever thought possible. God, everything up to this point that you have faced in your life has been to prepare you for what God wants to do in you. Think about the three Hebrew boys when they were thrown into the fiery furnace by the king. The Bible says that they were there in that furnace. That furnace that was heated up 7 times hotter than normal. That would have, that the Bible lets us know that their captors fell dead before they ever got to the furnace, because it was so hot that those that bound them and were taking them to throw them in the furnace, they fell dead at the door of the furnace. But the Bible tells us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into that fire. I don't know what happened. Their captors fell dead. I don't know if somebody else came to put them in, or if they just said, hey, this is what we're going to have to go through, and they just stepped in. I'm not really sure. But the Bible says that the king who ordered them to be thrown in the furnace, after some time, he called somebody over. He said, hey, bro, Did we not throw three in the fire? Yes, King, we did. You sure? You counted them. and not one of the captors didn't fall in with no, those guys died, so there's nobody else in the furnace. But yes, we put three in. He's like, you know, I'm a pretty smart guy. I think I know. I've been to school. I know how to count. I believe that I see four in the fire. And then he says, and the fourth one has the likeness of the Son of Man. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into a fire that could not kill them. They were in that fire, and it didn't consume them. Those that took them fell dead before they ever got there. But those three boys, they made it through the fire. You know why they did? Because God, everything up to that point in their life, God was preparing them for the fire. He was giving them and equipping them with what they needed to make it in the fire. They came out of that place. The king said, go get them out. And they came out. And their clothes weren't burned. Their hair wasn't singed. They didn't even smell like smoke. Because God had conditioned them for what they were going to go through. Hear me today. In closing, God has conditioned you. God has given you everything that you need to make it through your circumstance. God has equipped you with everything. Somebody say everything. He has equipped you with everything that you need to make it through what you're going through. Just like David. Think about it. David sitting on a hillside tending to his dad's sheep. He had a slingshot. I'm sure that day in and day out, I'm sure that was a boring job. He'd get some stones, some pebbles out, and he'd practice with his slingshot, twirl around, and before long, I'm sure when it began, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. But before long, anything that he looked at, when he would let go of that slingshot, it was automatic that he knew that when I let this thing go, it's going to hit its mark. All those days sitting on a hillside watching those sheep, little did David know that every time he twirled that slingshot, every time that he let it go and hit its mark, that it wasn't just making him proficient in his craft, but God was saying, you go ahead and twirl it, David. You go ahead and let that thing fly, because one day you're going to need it. One day you're going to face the fight of your life. You're going to step out and you're going to face a giant so big. But what you're doing now, David, is preparing you for what you're going to do then. And when David stepped into that valley and he reached into that bag and he pulled out one of those stones and he grabbed a slingshot, and he knew, he started to begin to twirl it. But David knew something in his heart of hearts, that when I let this go, David didn't question. David didn't say, well, I don't know if it's going to hit its mark or not. But David knew that when I let this stone fly, it's going to hit its mark. The Bible tells us that stone hit Goliath right smack dab in the forehead. And he fell to the ground because God had conditioned and prepared David. He said, Saul came and said, David, I'm going to anoint you king. David could have gotten antsy, and he could have gotten fed up with and said, and walked away and said, Dad, I'm going to be king. I'm not going to watch your sheep anymore. I'm done with that. No more hot days on a hillside for me. No more eating Vienna sausage and canned baked beans on the hillside. I'm not doing it anymore. Saul comes and said, I'm going to anoint you king. But there's something I want you to know. before David could ever, he was anointed king, but before he could ever be king, there had to be a time of preparation. David came into the house and Saul anointed him and said, you're going to be king. And when the ceremony was over, David went right back to the hillside and he began to watch the sheep and throw stones in the slingshot. Because David's time had not come. Hear me today. You have been facing what you've been facing. You've been going through what you've been going through. And you've wondered why. God, why am I doing this? God sent me here with a word for you and say, God has been preparing you. God's been preparing you for this time and for this day. And I want to tell you, it's not always going to be that way, but if you can raise your level of expectation and raise your faith somehow today, today is a new day. Today is a day of change. Today is a day that you can be healed. Today is a day that you can be delivered because God has prepared you for this moment. Stand all over this building right now. I want every person in this place to raise both hands to heaven right now and just declare, God, it's a new day. It's a new day. God, I expect that it's a new day. God, I expect you to do it today. I have faith enough, God, to believe that today can be a day of change in my life. I'm inviting everybody, hear me today. I'm inviting you to this altar. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you've been struggling. Maybe you've been doubting. Maybe you just haven't understood why things have been that way. I'm inviting you to this altar. And I don't want you to just come pray and beg God. But I want you to come expecting that God is going to give you your answer today. I want you to expect that God is going to do something different in this place today than He has ever done before. I open these altars. Would you come today? Today's your day. You need the Holy Ghost. God can fill you today. Come on, He's Jehovah Jireh.
And I will. church. God's not done working here this morning. Hold. In the name of Jesus. Come on, we need another portion of the Holy Ghost right now. In Jesus' name, God, I pray, God, that you would come down and sweep in this place, God. God, our hearts are open, God, our minds are open to you, Jesus. Oh, God, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray for Brother Austin this morning. The Holy Ghost, God. Oh, we believe in this morning, Jesus. Yes, God. Oh, come on, church, let's pray with him this morning. Let's push through the Holy Ghost just a little bit more this morning, Jesus. God, we know you can do it, God. You've done it before, God. We know that you can do it again, Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, God. Church. Yes, Jesus. Oh, God, you're a healer this morning. You're a deliverer this morning, God. You're a provider this morning. You're a protector, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we need you this morning, God. Our hearts are open this morning, God. We're calling for you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stay here until you move, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray one last time and just thank God for what he's done. God, we thank you, God, for bringing the word forth this morning, God. God, we thank you, God, for a church, God, and a building to come to worship you, God. God, thank you for Brother Danny, God, as he brought forth your word, God, and done what you had called him to do, Jesus, God. God, touch each and every family out here, God, as they continue their weeks going forth at work, at school, at home, whatever.